The senior officer on board the submarine USS Greenville when it struck a Japanese fishing boat last month says the sub's commander rushed through important safety procedures. A Navy Court of Inquiry in Pearl Harbor heard yesterday from the chief of staff for U.S. submarines in the Pacific, who happened to be aboard the Greenville during the tragic accident. 9 Japanese men and boys on the fishing vessel were killed when the sub surfaced into the boat's hull. NPR's Andy Bowers reports.
7 days of testimony in the Navy's inquiry of the Greenville accident have provided an interesting window into the insular and intense world on board an attack submarine. These subs routinely operate in the complete isolation of the deep ocean. And perhaps more than on any other kind of naval vessel, a submarine commander's personality has a massive impact on life aboard the ship. By all accounts so far, Commander Scott Waddle of the USS Greenville was a stellar captain. He was so good at running a submarine, in fact, that several Navy officials have testified his crew had no reason to question his judgment. The subtle issue floating over the Court of Inquiry is whether Waddle was actually too good, to the point that his crew and even his superiors would fail to question him if they thought he had made a small mistake. It so happens one of Waddle's superiors was on board the Greenville on the fateful day of February 9th. Chief of Staff Robert Brandhuber had heard a lot about the gregarious Captain Waddle's reputation. So much, in fact, that he wondered, in his words, if it was more show than go. But this was the first time Brandhuber had seen Waddle in action. At first, Brandhuber was impressed. With Waddle in charge, the Greenville performed several tough maneuvers well. But when Waddle prepared for an emergency surfacing drill, Brandhuber thought the captain was moving a little too quickly. This included a periscope check performed by Waddle that did not detect any ships close by. Earlier testimony has suggested the Japanese boat should have been spotted at this point. Brandhuber told the court he was concerned about Waddle's speed, but decided not to take the humiliating step of saying anything in front of the Greenville's crew because he saw nothing egregious. He said he had planned to mention it to Waddle privately later. Brandhuber said he was also surprised that the Greenville at one point descended to its maximum test depth, a classified move that could have revealed its secret capabilities to the civilians on board. But the court later heard a different side of the story from the Greenville's navigator, Lieutenant Keith Sloan. Sloan described Commander Waddle as a man who had no problem with criticism from his crew. In fact, said Sloan, Waddle sometimes would hold up crew members who voiced their concerns as positive examples for the rest of the sailors. Lieutenant Sloan said he noticed no particular haste on Captain Waddle's part that day, even though the sub was running late for its appointed return to Pearl Harbor. However, Sloan did say that he had once expressed concern to the captain that his hands-on approach to running the sub during important operations might not be giving junior officers a chance to learn from their mistakes. Perhaps the most poignant testimony so far came earlier in the week from Rear Admiral Albert Konecny, who heads U.S. submarines in the Pacific. He described Captain Waddle as like a brother or a son. Konecny spoke of Waddle like a protege in whom he saw, quote, a little of myself, and thought he would go far. But Konecny also said the blame for the Greenville accident was Waddle's alone. In salty language worthy of an admiral, Konecny said in court that he would have liked to walk over and punch Waddle for not taking more time on that day. The captain of the Japanese boat, who survived the ordeal, is scheduled to testify today. Andy Bowers, NPR News, Pearl Harbor.